Amazing love, how can it be? The idea of the question, how can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's love? How could God love a sinner such as I so much that He would send His only begotten and His beloved Son into this world as an offering for the sin that I have committed as a sinner? And we are all sinners. We were born that way. And because we are sinners, that sacrifice for sin is appropriated for each and every one of us. And it is made available to everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He did, as the Bible says, He did come into this world, offered Himself as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and went to the cross, died for our sins. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, according to the Scriptures, He was buried and He rose again the third day. And we are here to celebrate and recognize the resurrection from the dead. And we're also here to recognize the gift and the offering and the sacrifice that was made for our sins. I want to reiterate the message of the Easter musical that we've just heard. Music is a form of message in itself. Music is a way of communicating the truth of God. And a lot of times people respond to music more so than the spoken word. And so that's why music is so important. And it will always be important for all of eternity. We read in the Bible that music is important to God. God loves music, and God will use music as a form of worship and adoration of the Lamb for all of eternity. And so when we worship, there's a message to be heard. The message being communicated to us is the message of God's love today. Amazing love. How can it be? How can it be that a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, holy, sinless, and perfect, and even immortal, would come down and take upon Himself the form of a man and go to that cross and die for my sins? And so I want to reiterate that message today that we've already heard sung, just because repetition is good, especially when it comes to music. We need to repeat and hear it over and over again. And so I want you to listen for many of the phrases that you heard in the musical this morning, because I'm going to be repeating some of those phrases at the appropriate time in the message. Three simple parts to my outline today. Number one is that Easter is a message of amazing love, just like the title of the musical said. It is amazing that God would so love the world that He would give His only begotten Son. It's also a message of amazing power. We've been studying in our services the last several months stories about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been looking at the book of Ephesians, which was Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, explaining why God chose to create the church, the body of Christ, so that it would become a symbol of His righteousness and His love to His people. And it would be through the church that Jesus Christ would be glorified in receiving a bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And so it is a story of amazing power, the story of resurrection. God uses the resurrection of Jesus Christ as an illustration of just how powerful He is. Throughout the Bible, we find illustrations of God's power being revealed in the fact that He rose from the dead. I mean, think about it. That is amazing power, that someone who has died would be able to rise from the dead of his own accord, of his own ability, of his own strength. And then, not only do we have the amazing love of God, the amazing power of God, but because Jesus lives, because of the resurrection, because He lives, we have an amazing hope. We have a hope of heaven guaranteed for us. We have the assurance that through faith in Jesus Christ, we can live forever. So, briefly today, we're looking at those three items. First of all, the theme, Easter is a message of amazing love. And we turned to John chapter 3 And you're familiar with this story. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I'd like to read that passage of scripture again and have you to listen carefully to what God proclaims himself. I'm in John chapter 3, and again, in verse 14, Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Talking about his crucifixion, he was lifted up above the earth for all to see his suffering and his sacrifice that he made for sin on the cross of Calvary. He was lifted up above the earth. That, or for the reason or the purpose of, whosoever believing in him should not perish but have eternal life, life that never ends. It doesn't end at the grave. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, life never ends. It is eternal. Difficult for our finite minds to imagine, to even think about eternity. What is it? How do you define something that never ends when it comes to time? It's impossible for our finite minds to fully grasp and understand what all of that entails. But life never ends if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, for. Very important word in verse 16, John 3:16. How can we possibly have life that never ends? Well, because God, or for God, so loved. He so loved the world. Now, when it says the world there, it's referring to not just the created material world. And by the way, if we go back two chapters to John chapter 1, we see that God, the Son, was involved in creation, and everything that was created by him. And that includes the universe with all the galaxies and all the stars and all of the universe, this earth and everything that's on it. But when it refers to God loving the world, it's referring specifically to the inhabitants, the human inhabitants of the world, which were created in his image. You and I were created in the image of God. God loved you and I so much that he was willing to allow his only son, his beloved son, the son in whom he is well pleased, to come to this earth and suffer the cruel mockings and sufferings and scourgings and humility of an old rugged cross, which resulted in his physical death, which was an appeasement to God, satisfied God, as we're going to see in a few moments, with the sacrifice for sin. Sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ was given as God's gift for our sins, that, or for the reason that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants you and I to be saved. He's not willing that anyone would perish and spend eternity in hell. God's will is that we spend eternity with him. He created us to live with him forever. And so God has made a way because of his amazing love. Easter is a message of amazing love. Easter tells us that Jesus went through with it. Jesus accomplished the purpose that God sent him to, what God sent him to do. Jesus accomplished that. He didn't withhold, he didn't hold back anything. He became the Lamb of God and went to that cross. And even though he prayed hours before, just day before in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Lord, not my will, if it were be possible, let this cup pass from me." This cup of suffering, this cup of death, this cup of humility, this cup of blood, if it would be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's a message of amazing love. That's how much God loves you and I. In addition to John 3:16, we have other verses like Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrated his love toward us. He showed us just how much he did love us by being willing to send his son to die for our sins. While we were yet sinners, when we were enemies and separated from God, you could say we were good for nothing. We were no good. We were lost and dead in trespasses and sins. But God created us in his image. That image was marred through sin, the fall, and the Garden of Eden. And God wants to renew that image, and he still wants us to live forever. He still wants us to enjoy eternity that has been prepared for us. So while we were yet sinners, Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten, died for us. And then John tells us in John 15:13 that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Stop and think about that, folks. Jesus Christ laid his life down for you. He died in your place. He took the death that you and I deserve. And he died that death. In 1 John chapter 4, talks about the love of God. Oh, amazing love. How sweet the sound. Like amazing grace. How can it be that I should gain an interest in the love of the Savior when it says that in this was manifested the love of God toward us because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we, through him, might have life. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation simply means he became the sacrifice for sin that the holy God accepted. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," God the Father received the gift of his sacrifice on the altar of heaven, and your sins were paid for. My sins were paid for. That's why it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." We don't have a guilty charge against us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, because our sentence of eternal separation from God, our sentence of eternal death has been erased. It's been taken off of our record. Our record has been made clean. We are clean through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, through his blood that was shed. He is the propitiation. He is the sacrifice that satisfied the holy demands of a righteous God. Amazing love. How can it be? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, it says. That word behold is a powerful word. It's like the word verily, verily that you see throughout the Gospel of John. God is saying, wake up, listen, pay attention, look at this. This is an astounding truth. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Wow, the sons of God. Amazing love. How can it be that I, a sinner, condemned and unclean, could be forgiven and washed as white as snow and be called a son of God and live for eternity? Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be? God so loved not just the world, but it's a personal message. It's you. God so loved you. You can put your name in there. For God so loved David or George or Sally or Betty or whatever your name may be, that he gave his only begotten Son And so, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And he did. He went to the cross of Calvary to become my Savior, to become your Savior, our Deliverer, the one who delivered us from the power and penalty of sin. Easter is a message of amazing love. Easter is also a message of amazing power. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, now is risen from the dead. It's not he is going to rise again someday, but he already is risen from that very first Easter morning 2,000 years ago. The Lord Jesus Christ, the angel says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. An angel appeared to the women who visited Jesus' tomb on that first resurrection morning and said, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. He's not there. He's gone. As our brother Jim said this morning in our Easter sunrise service, the grave clothes were there, but there was nothing in them. The napkin that was covering his face was all folded and laid aside, an indication of saying, I'm coming back again, not to the grave, but to receive my family, my children unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, is risen from the dead. Go and quickly tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, now he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you, the angel said. These words that were spoken by the angel were the words given to him by God himself to declare the truth, the greatest and most powerful truth that the church has ever received, that Jesus Christ is alive. Amazing love. How can it be? Amazing power that set him free from the grave, set him free from death. The Apostle Paul tells us triumphantly, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ is risen from the dead. That is the amazing power. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah, Christ arose. One part in the song says, now the iron bars are broken. Christ from death to life is born. Jesus' resurrection. That's why we rejoice today. That's why Easter is such a wonderful Sunday. It's something, it's an event that we look forward to all year long, as much and probably more than Christmas. Christmas is a huge holiday for the Christian world and the worldly world alike. Everybody practically celebrates Christmas, but Easter is the holiday that tells us we're going to live forever. Because Jesus Christ arose, we will rise also. Jesus' resurrection is why we rejoice. It's why Easter is so important to the Christian faith. The Apostle Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That word blessed means joyful, a reason to shout with triumphant exultation, blessed, rejoicing. The countless residents of heaven are seen rejoicing in the future around the throne of God, rejoicing over the resurrected Lamb in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Say all the residents of heaven, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. King Solomon also gave glory to God in the aspect of his glory being given to a God who lives forever and ever in Psalm chapter 72, verse 19. Again, starting with that word, blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Mighty King in Calvary's Lamb, risen Savior, great I am. All of heaven and earth proclaim how great the name, Jesus. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Easter is a message of love, amazing love. Easter is a message of amazing power. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And finally, Easter is a message of amazing hope because he lives. That's why we're here today, isn't it? Because he lives. If we didn't have a living Savior, if Jesus Christ were still in the tomb, if we had no guarantee, no way of knowing that our sins could be forgiven, no assurance that there would be life after death, let alone eternal life in heaven, how could we rejoice? What would we have to worship about? What hope would we have of eternal life? But folks, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And we've just been studying Ephesians chapter 2. That word quicken means to give life unto again. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God gave us life when we put our faith and trust in him. We were born again, a spiritual experience where we have life anew, life eternal. He will quicken, he will make you alive again through faith in Christ. How great the name that has broken through our darkness, light of the world, rising up for all to see. All hail the power of Jesus' name that sets us free. All will worship at the sound of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. That's amazing love. How can it be? Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And so here's where we could talk about not only amazing love and amazing power and amazing hope, but all that amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Born again to live forever. I love John chapter 5, verse 24, where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Born again to live forever. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting. Looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. There was a song in the musical that was new to me. I had never heard it before that I know of. Loved it as soon as I heard it. I thought that should be the testimony of every believer. Every person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ should be able to say these words: I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I am alive because he lives. Let my song join the one that never ends, because he lives. I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen, amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because he lives. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask you a question in closing this morning. Is that your testimony? Would you be able to say, I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I'm alive because he lives. Let my song join the one that never ends, because he lives. I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame, but I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. I'm alive because he lives. There's another song that we're going to be closing with in just a few moments, but by way of invitation, consider the words of this song as well. It's one of my favorite songs. There is room at the cross for you. It says, the hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Our Father, as we think about all that we've heard this morning, and we've heard so much, it's impossible to think about all that we've heard, but there will be bits and pieces of it that will stick in our minds. There were words and phrases that perhaps spoke to us as they were being sung or spoken. And there's a message here for each and every one of us, Lord. It's a message of hope. It's a message of amazing love. It's a message of, Lord, how much you loved us, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on that cross. And when Jesus died on that cross, he gave an invitation that whosoever will may come. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to all realize today that if we've never made that decision to come and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will realize today there is room there for me. And right now is the time for me to come to that place. That place where I admit that, yes, I am a sinner. Terrible, terrible sinner. Was born that way with a sin nature. Condemned before God. Being in a condition that would never allow me to enter into heaven. Something had to change. Somebody had to take my penalty. Somebody had to make a payment. Somebody had to purchase my place in heaven. And that somebody was Jesus Christ. That somebody was the Savior, the Deliverer. Lord, we come to you today. There may be some who are coming for the first time, or some who are coming for assurance that I have trusted Jesus Christ. I have asked him to save me. I've asked him to deliver me from sin's power and its penalty. And I've asked him to make a way for me to be called a son of God or a daughter of God. Lord, I pray that those who are coming today will be able to exercise faith in Jesus Christ and believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should brag or boast. Lord, we pray for those who are believers and came to this service today to worship. We know that it's the Resurrection Sunday. It's what we call Easter. It's time where we recognize that the reality of our faith is based upon not a Savior who's still in the grave, not someone who died for our sins and was buried and that's the end of the story, but it goes on from there. Much more goes on, and it says, according to the Scriptures, He rose from the dead. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. And because of that power that He used to raise Himself from the dead, He has the power to raise everyone who believes on Him from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. And as Jesus said to Martha there at the tomb of Lazarus, "Whosoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Martha, do you believe this? And even though Martha was able to say timidly, "Yes, Lord, I believe," there are millions today who still do not believe. Millions who still have not trusted in Jesus Christ. May we be ready to tell the story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We ask, Lord, your will to be done in the remainder of this invitation, that souls would be saved, that believers would be confirmed in their belief in you and go forth with boldness to tell the story. In Jesus' name, amen.